Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Carlton, God bless you. You tell us what's on your heart, okay? Amen. You can be seated. Thank you.
I will start out with a scripture. It's one of my life verses. That's actually two of them. For the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even divided asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow is the discern of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father shall send in my name, shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said to you. See, there was a time, but you might ask me what celebrate recovery means to me. I started coming here about 19 months ago, and I'm going to tell you the journey that God had in my life. I went to college, learned about ministry, got a degree, got back, but I was so full of intellectual faith and stuff. I just would look at things. Instead of keeping my eyes on Jesus, I just took them off. And from 2010, I just really stopped living for him. But when you study the Bible, you look at people's hearts in the Bible, you can tell that like Peter denied Christ, on the cross. And that the day of Pentecost, I really feel like he truly got the Holy Ghost and he went to the ends of the world to preach the gospel to his death. And so when I started coming here back in 2018, it wasn't because I wanted to. I was running for God for 9 years and I truly was saved. And I came back, it's in 2018, I got in trouble facing my second strike felony. And I went back home and I was just embarrassed, humiliated to my family and my own actions, especially to the Lord, when I was sitting there, I got in trouble. I told the Lord, you failed me. I surrender to you. I'm sorry for being a blasphemer, for just being a fake and a liar. Just show me the way. Show me the way. And when I got out, my mom showed me Pastor Glenn's testimony on Facebook. And I was like, what? So she gave God his phone number and she gave me to call him. He's like, yeah, come to celebrate recovery. He's like, where is it at? He's like, it's at the Pentecostal church. I was like, what? Hold on, wait. And so I came to celebrate recovery and they opened me with arms wide open when I came there. And it was, even though it was an addiction problem that I faced, I found out after going through, being in a 50-week step study, of going through the word and everything Celebrate Recovery has to offer, working these steps, I come to find out it was a sin problem. It was more than just an addiction. That was just a byproduct of the real product of what happened, And I sort of work in these steps, man, and then I go to Glenn, I go to Pastor Neely, man, I need to get baptized. My walk, I've totally changed direction and everything. My talk, my music, I can't go without having to give to the Lord, man, my tithes. I ain't never been like that, it's the truth. And it just taught me that these steps, the Hope House guys and Pastor Glenn was praying for my situation, and I never told anybody this, and I told Glenn the other day that it was only between me and the Lord. And I told God, I said, Lord, if I've been your utmost will where I'm supposed to be at this church, and I've been your utmost will, and I wouldn't try to test God or nothing, to be at Celebrate Recovery, and that's what you called on my life, and that's where you'll have me serve beside Pastor Glenn, I'll do it, all of my means and all the stuff you give me to use for your glory to help out there. You just show me. You got to show me the way. And if you would, make all this go away. Well, I'm happy to tell you about 2 weeks ago, everything got dropped. Everything's gone. And I give glory to Yahshua. And I'm thankful for this body. I'm thankful for y'all loving me. I'm thankful for y'all just, it's the first day I come in here. I thank y'all. Y'all show me this body having Celebrate Recovery here. Show me the true light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm here and I'm glad to say today I'm not on my way to hell. It's because of this body and because of Celebrate Recovery. And I thank y'all so much. I love you.
Tell them.
Okay. Because we talked today, he wants me to tell y'all, okay? Y'all pray for my wife. I love my wife. Both me and my wife, when you look at 1 Corinthians, and I do this, you know, but we're both non-believers, you know. And I just got saved. It's been about 20 months, I guess, about 20 months ago, really, yeah. So just my wife, she'd be like, I'm not Pentecostal. I can't go, you know, there. And she'll be like, you got to wear a dress. I'm like, baby, it's not like that there. It's not like what you're thinking. You can come. So in my house, since God started changing me, I was like, look here, you know. I love you, but we're going to stand strong, and you're going to either choose one to go to. You're either going to come to Celebrate Recovery, or you're going to go to church with me. So she chose Celebrate Recovery, and I could see God breaking her spirit. And she's been coming with me to support me, and not only support me, it's starting to change her. I mean, my marriage is growing better, and I just appreciate it. I just appreciate it a lot, you know. And thank y'all. Just pray for her. Pray for my family. Thank you.
Thank you. You can be seated. So I just want, I don't want to say anything that would embarrass Carlton, but Carlton had numerous charges against him, numerous. And the judge dropped all charges, And he didn't have to, but God did it. No reason at all. I don't want to call any names because I'm not against any faith whatsoever. I love people of all faiths. But Carl grew up in a particular faith. He went to Bible school. He got a degree in Bible school. And then he just got disillusioned with religion, and he got his eyes on men. That's what he told me. And then God brought him, God led him here. And then he got baptized in the lovely name of Jesus. And he told me, he said, Pastor, I'm telling you, literally everything has changed in my life. He said, I can't even listen to the old music that I used to listen to. He said, I don't even want to listen to it. He said, some of the old things that I used to do and say and be a part of, have no desire for any of that. And so that is just an incredible testimony. And Celebrate Recovery, if you don't understand, it's more than just addiction. It gets to really the root of the issue. The root of the issue is not addiction. The root of the issue is sin. That's right. It's sin. And I just am so thankful for what the Lord is doing in this ministry. And Carlton, I'm really thankful for what God has done in your life. And we are very Holy Ghost sanctified proud of you. Can you give Carlton another big hand? I am mindful of your time, and I will do my best to be brief. I want to speak out of what is in my spirit tonight. And we have been, for our life groups, we have been talking about emotional holiness. And I will tell you that I've never even heard those two words together. Because when we Pentecostals, when we think of holiness, we think of outward markers, such as dress and modesty and gender distinction and free from tobacco and alcohol. Those are what we think of as the markers of holiness. But as I have begun to really dive into this topic of emotional holiness, what holiness means is to be separated from sin, to be set apart. Holiness is way more than just how you dress. It is a part of that because we should be modest because we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. But it actually goes deeper than just our external markers. Can I get a witness? Holiness is separation from sin and from world values. In other words, holiness incorporates all that we are, not just our outward modesty. Let me ask you a question tonight. If If you were to drink from this cup, and let's say you were extremely thirsty, let's say that you had not drank an ounce of water in 3 days. You haven't drank anything or eaten anything in 3 days. Give me a response. If the cup was clean, but the outward was dirty, like it literally had mud on the outward, but the inward was clean, would you drink from it? I'm sure that you would. Your preference would probably be to have both the inside and the outside, but if you hadn't drank anything for 3 days or eaten anything, and that was the first water, as long as it was clean, you would probably drink it. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew 23, and I believe it is verse 15. He tells the Pharisees, he says, look here. He says, you take a child, you cross land and sea, you cross land and sea to make one convert. And he says, when you're done with them, you have made them the twofold child of hell. What is Jesus talking about? He is saying that you went across the land, you went across the sea, and you made that one person worse off than when they started. Jesus was not talking about they turned him into Jezebel. Can I preach? He wasn't talking about that they converted their outward appearance, because we know the Pharisees, according to the scripture, they wore the long robes. They wore the philanthropies. They were very modest in their dress, so they would never think of trying to make someone look like Jezebel. So how did they take a proselyte and make them the twofold child of hell? This is how they did it, because they poured their self-righteousness, their judgmentalism, and their self-indulgence on the inside of their convert. Amen. Brothers and sisters, you can look the part and still have some emotional unholiness on the inside. And this is what Jesus was saying. You're taking a convert and you are making them the twofold child of hell because of your attitude. Emotional holiness, brothers and sisters, means more than just us separating ourselves in the way we dress. It means that we separate ourselves from the lifestyle of the world, how the world thinks, how the world behaves. It means that when they come and they're talking about the people on their job, what is the difference when we're talking about the people in our church? It's the same difference when they're talking about their boss, but you're talking about your pastor. It's the same difference. It's called emotional unholiness. When they're talking about the people on their job, we ought to be separated from that and try to be lifting up people, not tearing down people. Oh, I can tell you're not with me right now, but that's okay. I need to preach just a little bit here. Come on, somebody. Because here's what we're doing. If we're not careful, we are saying you look good, so you must be holy. But inside there can be judgmentalism, there can be gossip, there can be disunity, there can be division in our heart, there can be backbiting. And I'm going to tell you something. God said in his word, first, this is in his word, first clean the inside of the cup. And then when you get the inside of the cup clean, it's amazing how God can start cleaning everything else around it. You know, we say, well, Brother Nealon, we've got to really harp on some things because, you know, people just don't like to change. People just don't like to change. I've heard this most of my life. People just don't like to change. But I want you to kind of rethink that, because I don't think it's so much that people don't like to change. Why? Because people change jobs. If they can afford it, they change cars. If they can afford it, they'll change something in their house. Most of you ladies like to get a new change of clothes. Probably would like some more often than what you get it. We change our hair color. You Pentecostal can't say nothing on that. We change cities. Do y'all agree? After I really got to looking at this, I don't think that people hate change nearly as much as what we say they do. What I think people hate is the way that we try to change them. And the church has been notorious for you pray, you get saved, and now you change. And what we've been more concerned about is the outside of the cup, because that's what we can see. But what Jesus can see is the inside of the cup. And he is saying, you let me change them from the inside out. And then it won't be man's way of doing it. It'll be God's way of doing it. Can I keep preaching for a few more minutes? Let me ask you a question. How many of you like coffee in here? You like coffee? Okay. Neil, how do you like your coffee? Straight black. So if I went out there and I got some community coffee straight black, you would like it. And I could hand this to you and say, man, Neil, I'm so happy. All right, this is Mr. Bubbly. That's his nickname. We're going to put him out at the door shaking hands. Y'all going to see Neil. Cindy, that's Neil. You got it? He's Mr. Bubbly. So we would hand Mr. Bubbly a cup of coffee, and man, he'd probably be like, what? I mean, he'd almost run around the church because somebody handed him a cup of coffee. That's just who he is. I love him. Love his personality. Now let me ask you this. What if I took the same cup of coffee and said, here, Neil. You probably wouldn't. You probably wouldn't be very happy. Same cup, same coffee, very different presentation. See, I like a good steak. But I'm going to tell you, I don't care how good the steak is. I don't want anybody saying, April, do you mind helping me? Open up. Here's the steak. Come on, you're right. And I feed it to her how I want it fed to her. It doesn't matter how good the steak is. April don't want me to feed her steak how I want to feed it to her. She wants to be able to sit down and eat the steak at her leisure and enjoy it. This is what the scripture says. Oh, taste and see that the Lord, he is good. But you know what we've done? We've taken something very good and we've shoved it down people's throat and said, do it this way because this is what we require. And they were gagging on something that was very good and could nourish them and could be a blessing, but they couldn't get it down their throat because we were shoving it down them. Brothers and sisters, I'm here talking about emotional holiness. Says, here is Jesus, and he can transform your life. And I'm here to tell you that if you taste him, you're going to find that he's good, that he's gentle, that he's kind, that he's merciful, that he will transform your life. Can I get a witness? Did that all make sense? You know, we talk about that, well, there are people in this world that they feel entitled. They feel entitled to certain programs in the government. And sometimes I've heard people down people because they got involved in certain entitlement programs, and I'm not saying that there's not abuse of governmental entitlement programs. There probably is.
But it's amazing how we can speak so harsh about some people and entitlement programs, but we don't see ourselves. Because we feel entitled to our pew. And we feel entitled to our parking spot. And we feel entitled to our style of music. And we condemn others. I can't believe they would do this or do that. But then we can't even see the mote that's in our own eye. Because we feel entitled for church to be a certain way and to sound a certain way and to look a certain way. Can I preach tonight and tell you that the church should be the most selfless organization in the world? We should be the people that say, you know what? Whomsoever will, let them come. We're not here to judge you, to try to change you, but we're here to offer Jesus. Oh, taste and see that the Lord, He is good. Just present Jesus, because when you get up there, He's not holding you accountable to save them anyway. Can I keep preaching? If we're not careful, brothers and sisters, we become spiritual consumers instead of spiritual contributors. And I don't want to cross any swords. I'm not mad at nobody. But what we do is we shop churches like we shop for clothes. I want to find a church that meets my needs. I want to find a church that meets my needs. I don't see that in the New Testament at all. It's not about meeting your needs. It's about coming in here and saying, God, thank you for what you've given me. Now I want to help meet others' needs. I want to give myself away, because that's where you get the greatest joy, is when you give yourself away instead of saying, this is my pew and my parking spot and this is how the music should be. We ought to be coming in here and saying, oh, thank you, Lord. If you hadn't picked me up out of that gutter, where would I be tonight? But thank you, God, for what you've done in my life. It is a joy to serve the Lord. It is a joy to give to the Lord. It's a joy to be able to bless the Lord. Did that all make sense? See, the reason why Jesus upbraided the Pharisees is he said, because you got all this together, but inside you're full of extortion. He said, you take a convert and you make them the twofold child of hell. I'm talking tonight about emotional holiness. Emotional holiness. So, Pastor, what can we do? We can realize, brothers and sisters, that if we're going to bring change to this community and to this region, we have to separate ourselves from the way the world does it, not just in our modesty, but in our speech and in our actions and in our values. Because when others are talking down and talking bad about people, they see us on our block lifting people up. When others are talking about how bad it is, we talk about the hope that we have, knowing that it may not get better, but we have a hope that one day it's going to be all right, because we have the hope of Christ in our life. That's emotional holiness, brothers and sisters. What are you saying, Pastor? I am saying that there is coming a harvest of people, and they may not look like you, act like you, but God is more concerned about what's going to go on in their heart. And if you'll just give God time, He's got a way. He's got a way. I want us to be spiritual contributors, not spiritual consumers. This is not my church. It's not. I know that you say, I go to Pastor Nealon's church, and I understand what you're saying. But this is not my church. This is His church. He bled and died for this church. Amen. I just want this to sink in for just a minute. I don't like I don't like the fog. I don't like the smoke. I don't like this. I don't like that guitar. I don't like this. You know what? I love you to pieces. Love you to pieces. But all of this is just presentation. That's all it is. Don't get caught up in it. What I want you to get caught up in is the power. Because if we have smoke and lights and band and all of that, but no power, but I'm going to wrap this up. But I'm going to tell you, what you felt tonight was more than smoke and lights and fog. What you felt in this house tonight was the power of the Holy Ghost. Power to transform lives. Would you all stand? Let's give God some praise tonight. Come on, give God some praise right now. Just remain standing. I have a couple more things that I want to say. I average 10 to 12 funerals a year since I've been here in DeQuincy. Since Janet and I have been here, we've either ministered at, spoke at, been a part of probably 80 to 100 funerals. I've seen them from young and old. But here's what I see. If it's an older person, then I understand maybe this older person outlived their friends. But when it's a middle-aged person and there's only 5 or 6 people that show up, here's what I think. This person lived a very selfish, self-centered life. Because as long as you remain selfish and everything's got to be about you, very few people are going to want to be around you. But how many know you love being around a giver? Just people, I'm not talking about they're giving you money. I'm talking about they're always just giving you love. Man, they're just giving you love. You know what? You want to rub up to that person, don't you? If we're going to change the world and we're going to change our community, we cannot be the selfish little church on the corner. Amen. 94% of all churches across all denominations, brothers and sisters, are in decline or plateaued. Why? Why? There's probably many reasons, but one reason is they become spiritual consumers, and it's all about me and my style and my music and my parking spot and my pew and look like me, dress like me, spit white like me. And can I tell you, Jesus had the exact opposite of that. He went to the prostitute. He went to the tax collector. He went to the publican, and he said, "Whomsoever will, let him come." Let them come. We need to take our heart to the Lord tonight. Because there's more Carltons out there. And there's more Brocks out there. There's more. TPC, you have been prophesied for years and years that you were the city set on a hill, that you were the lighthouse. The lighthouse doesn't discern what boat it shows its light to. The lighthouse is not prejudiced. Oh, I like this boat and you can come, but you can't. Lighthouse just keeps shining. Jesus didn't say, you're too, no, no, you can't. Yeah, you can, because you got a few coins in your pocket, so you come on. No, you can't, because you got dark skin. He was just the light of the world. And the light just kept shining. And it didn't matter who he was letting you know, Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want to talk to somebody tonight. It's emotional holiness. It's separating yourself from the way the world acts, the values of the world, the way the world speaks. It's getting something on the inside that when people see you, they don't even know what it is, but they just gravitate to it. And in my closing remarks, can I tell you, as I be being transparent, here's my prayer. God, fill me with so much love that people just want to be around me. Let there be such joy in my heart that people see it, Lord, on my face. Let me have such an attitude that people just want to be around me, because I want to lead people to the light. It's not my job to change people. That's God's job. I'm just going to love them. Y'all, this is in my heart. I got to tell you, just remain standing. The other night, I went with Glenn. He'd been asking me to go to celebrate recovery in West Monroe. And I went. And during those four or five songs that they sang, people just kept coming to the altar. And you know what they would do? As soon as one would come to the altar, one would step out from where they were and go put their arm around them and pray with them. Then that person get up and go back to his pew. Next song, there'd be four come up to the altar. And then four would come up, put their arm around him and pray with him. 5-10 minutes, they'd go back to. Then another song, it reached somebody else and they would come up. And you know what? When we have people come to the altar, we just kind of stand there and look at them. I wonder what they're coming up for. Wonder what they've done. Motion of holiness says it don't matter. It don't matter. I'm going to come up and pray with them. I'm going to love on them. I'm going to tell them. I'm going to keep telling them. I'm going to keep building them up. I'm going to keep encouraging them. You can make it. Here's what the scripture says. If you fall, doesn't matter how many times you fall, though a righteous man falls 7 times, will he get back up? The Lord is drawing someone here tonight. And I just want to tell you, this is not your typical Pentecostal church. We're not here to judge you or condemn you or to stare you down. We're here to love you and take you by the hand, and let's make heaven together. Let's help change our community, this region, and let our influence be felt globally. If you can believe that, come on and throw your hands up and give God some praise right now. Come on, give God praise right now. You may, right where you're standing, take your heart to the altar and say, God, I've got some judgmentalism in my heart. I want to take it to the altar. God, I've got some emotional, Lord, unholiness in my heart. I want to take it to the altar. TPC, I'm asking you to open your mouth right now. I'm asking you to cry out to God right now.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.